हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
so technologically advanced it doesn't work.
Yeah, it looks cool, but
okay. Okay, so now on 32 in the essay on Sangha Tyaga, giving up association of non-devotees. So it says there's two types of Sangha, association and attachment. Association is of two types, with non-devotees and with women. Similarly, attachment is also of two types, attachment for prejudices and attachment for assets. So now we're on page 32. On the second is association of women. Association with women is detrimental. There are two types of Vaishnavas, the householders and the renunciates. Renunciates are forbidden from speaking with any woman. By the instruction to give up the association with women, they have been forbidden from conversing with women. Householders should not associate with others' wives or prostitutes. We'll get to that. They should not indulge in any association other than with their own wives, according to religious scriptures. Okay. One should give up the uxorious mentality of being excessively fond of one's wife. A Vaishnava, whether a householder or renunciate, is desirous of transcendental happiness. Householder Vaishnava always works together with his wife with the aim of achieving transcendental happiness. Although engaged in all work in this way, he never becomes uxorious. In this way, he remains free from women's association throughout his life. He totally gives up illicit intimate speaking with women and the mundane, uxorious mood in illicit association with his wife. Right? So here is that this is, you know, has to be very well understood. Because this can create a lot of difficulty if this is not understood properly. So here the point is that we're giving up what is improper association. That's the whole point of the essay. So here improper association means that if one man and woman are associating based on the principle of material enjoyment, right? That's what is to be given up. So it's not a problem when it's doing service, there's a connection to Krishna, one is acting according to scripture, it says here, in association with other than their own wives according to religious scriptures. So the scriptures then, as he discussed before, that discussion with the wife, physical contact with the wife, that's not the problem. The problem is that if it's whimsical, right, one interacts just based on what you feel like rather than what is the scriptural rule. Right? If it's according to the scriptural rule, then whatever the rules are, that being followed, then that is fine. But even in that, one should not have that mood of being excessively fond, because by the acting according to scripture, then the quality of the interaction will be at its best. So one should not therefore become attached to that. Right? In other words, one is associating, it means, yeah, one is interacting for the purpose of becoming Krishna conscious. Right? So becoming Krishna conscious then means is that that's the foremost element. Right? Just like when you're doing other things. If the skill itself is more prominent than the devotion, or the renunciation is more prominent than the attachment, then our priorities are wrong. Does that make sense? Right? Because the pure devotion is that it's being done to please Krishna. That you're doing it because you want to be involved in it and have somehow or another connection with the results, either giving it all to Krishna, but it's your giving your results to Krishna, or even keeping part for yourself, then it's just there. It's not on the platform of pure devotion. It's mixed. Does that make sense? So this is the same principle, is that one acts according to Scripture for the pleasure of Krishna. If you're trying to get your own pleasure out of it, then that's a problem. And to that degree that one is doing that, to that degree there's a problem. Like that. So it's very simple. It's not that one will say, oh, but you know, we're just, you know, we have to interact. No, the Scriptures, that's what they define. If someone really wants to get the full benefits of interaction between man and woman, if you don't follow Shastra, let me tell you, you're not getting it. It's that simple. Right? It's just like you have a machine. You're not following the instructions that go with it. You're just whimsically doing whatever you like. You're not getting the most benefit out of that machine. Because that instruction manual tells you all kinds of things that you don't even know about. That's the whole point, right? It looks nice, it looks shiny. Okay, you can look at it all day, it's nice and shiny. So you can sit there and look at your wife. But even that, she's not going to tolerate that very much unless you're doing something, right? What are you doing to earn or deserve to look at your wife all day? You know what I'm saying? You're doing something. It's just like you want to eat nice, you got to put in the work. You don't want to eat nice, you don't put in the work. You know what I'm saying? So you want something nice, you got to work. Shastra tells you about that. So I'm telling you, up front, if you're not following Shastra in your interaction with your wife, you're not getting actually anything much out of it. All right? So the Westerners wonder, well, it's all this archaic stuff that the Orientals do. But the point is the Orientals stay together the whole life. Why? Because they're following Shastra, so it's nice. And the Westerners, they divorce 5, 10, 20 times. Why? Because they don't know what the hell they're doing. It's that simple. Right? It's that simple. And it's those people that will have all the philosophy. Right? The old couple sitting there in their little house out in the country somewhere that have been together since they were small, like that, they don't have a philosophy. They know who they are. They know what to do. They're doing it. That make sense? Because they're following what the laws of nature are. But even then, they don't get the full amount because they don't know what the Shastra says. But at least they are getting something. It's stable. It's steady. So this modern, educated city man, he is totally an idiot when it comes to this thing. They know how to get money. That they're very expert at. At least a few of them know how to do it. But when it comes to how to spend their money and how to use it in relationships, modern man doesn't know a thing about what he's doing. And if you have a doubt, look around. It's that simple. So here, it's being very clear, why we're being very strong on this, is that when it says here, in associating with other than their own wives according to religious scriptures, they should not indulge in any association other with their own wives according to religious scriptures. That one sentence says everything. And if one thinks there's something missing, it means you are uninformed. You're uneducated in this area. It's that simple. It's not a matter of discussion or argument. That one sentence says actually the foundation. Now, to then take that, apply that, see what's there, that's another point. Right? That's the whole point. So we have to understand is that when the acharyas speak, because this is an essay where he's trying to give the essence. Right? In other words, this is coming from the Bhakti Aloka. So he's trying to give the essence of, you know, what exactly the Upadeshamrita is speaking. Right? Because there's an analysis of the Upadeshamrita. So when it says to give up inappropriate association, this is what's being meant. And it's that simple. Shastra tells what to do. One doesn't know. One thinks that gets in the way. That's because he's a fool. And we don't care how educated they are, how educated they think they are, how intelligent, how developed, you know, like that. It doesn't matter. Facts are facts. Right? I mean, because look at it this way. Would we admit to the point that Krishna's not bad at dealing with women? Right? He must know something, right? He goes out, plays his flute, and it's not that, you know, one girl kind of, you know, gets excited, another couple like that. Well, I mean, there's nothing else around, so I guess we might as well go out, you know, like that, after they finish their phone call and, you know, booking their appointment at the spa. You know, we're talking millions. Right? And that's in Vrindavan. Then what about in Dwarka? 16,108 wives, not Parakia. Right? The other one may be exciting and all that, but this is married women. Right? 10 children from each wife. Right? So he's doing okay. Does that make sense? Like that. Lakshmi doesn't go away. Right? Well, you know, for us, you got some money, everything's great, and then you don't have some money. Why? Because Lakshmi is not impressed. She never goes away. So that means he knows what he's doing. He is the scriptures. Therefore, in the scriptures, he defines how to deal with women. If someone's actually intelligent and really wants to be involved, that's the only way. Anything else is stupid. That's it. It's like someone has no idea about cooking, hasn't seen it, doesn't know about it, and goes into the kitchen. What are you going to get? It doesn't matter how they sit there and they're intellectual and they've turned, you know, all this into some philosophies and studies. Yes, we have noted that, you know, when the flour is dropped and it hits the floor, then it makes this dust cloud and the patterns that it makes and all these kind of things. You can get a PhD in that. I'm not joking. You know what I'm saying? But the point is, do you know anything about cooking? No. So all they do is observe phenomena that happens by their, you know, just haphazard dealing with material energy. Whatever they feel like dealing, then they observe that, then it's called science. Does that make sense? So, you know, that's a, you know, I say, you know, like Freud was saying that, you know, the sun, you know, because he has affection for his mother, so when he grows up, he's looking for his mother in his wife. So technically, Freud's saying that he wants to have sex with his mother. So some devotee was explaining this to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada just looked at him and said, maybe in your country, not mine. You know, maybe you guys, that's what you guys are into, you Malechas and Yavanas. Not here, not the human beings. So that means it's just speculative, what he feels, what he observes, what he thinks. And then because you document it with, you know, thousands of pages of notes and stuff like that, then it's called science. No, it's called, how you say? As Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, Sardar Gobar. Right? Bull dung. Right? Because it's not auspicious, it's not pure. Cow dung is pure, you use it in sacrifice. Bull dung, it has no purpose. Right? So it's got that much value. Right? And we can speak strongly because it's a fact. It's science. So we're just saying this is because we have to understand is that when it says associating with his own wife according to religious scriptures, that's what actually gives the results that everyone on the planet's looking for. Anything else won't give it. It's that simple. Right? But from doing that, then he says next, once you give up the luxurious mentality of being excessively fond of one's wife. Right? Because dealing according to scripture, then one will become excessively fond. One can, because the exchange is nice. Right? If one is speculative, not acting according to religious scriptures, there's no need to say this sentence. Absolutely no need. Maybe the first 6 months, first couple of years, and then after that, forget it. But we're talking about people who deal, you know, their whole life like this. They get excessively attached. You know, you can't work without, you know, where they get the nice food, the nice arrangements, nice all this and that. Where would it happen? It won't, so therefore, it is naturally the next sentence. Right? So at any point, the Vaishnava, whether household or renunciate, is desirous of transcendental happiness. Therefore, the husband and wife are working for transcendental happiness. The other thing is just how you deal with each other. You know what I'm saying? You know, you have a knife, you use it in the kitchen, like that. It has its purpose. When you don't need it, you're not thinking about the knife, you're thinking about cooking. When you need it, you use it, and you use it properly. And then after that, you don't use it. But if someone has a whole fetish about knives and there, and this knife from here, and that knife from there, and they're always talking about the knives, when you come into the kitchen, hey, check out the knife, then would you consider that the cooking is their major thing? No, it's a side. So that's the whole point. Is for the householder, his whole attachment to the wife and family, that's secondary. When you're interacting with the wife, you interact according to things. When you're interacting with the child, you interact according to that. You're dealing with your money, you deal with that. You deal with the house and friend, you deal with that. But otherwise, the focus is on transcendental happiness. That's the point. It's pure devotional service. So the point is that we have a difficulty that the externals, they themselves, we consider them, we make the mistake, we consider them the cause of bhakti, and that they have a value in themselves. And because of this external vision, then therefore household life can either, you know, it itself doing all the little things of the household life, that can't be spiritual. You know, only renunciation. Or, you know, we're just being practical. We have to do all these things. And then devotional service is something else. And when we get time, all these things come from not understanding that devotion, pure devotion means the devotion's primary. All other things, no matter what it is, what varna, what ashram, it doesn't matter. It's secondary. Valuable, but secondary. But we take the secondary and make the whole position on what devotional service is. Oh, he's dealing nice with his family. Oh, he's so attached. He can't be a devotee or can't be advanced. No, he just knows the science. Now, if he's attached, excessively attached, then he's got a problem. Right? But if he's not, because he just knows properly how to deal, you know what I'm saying? The businessman, he knows how to deal with his clients or with his partners or other things like that. And so therefore, they are very pleased with him and he gets all the business. So would you say, oh no, he can't be very efficient because he's so, you know, so interactive and so nice and pleasant? We wouldn't say that. We go to seminars just to learn how to be nice. But at home, either you don't have to be nice because, you know, why, that's all artificial, you know? Or it's like, oh, you're so attached and it can't be devotional. These are the nonsense mentalities that the whimsical Western culture devised. Right? Does that make sense? It's generic. It's material. Anybody, no matter what they're doing, can fall into these traps. But the difference is you try to avoid making a philosophy out of it. Does that make sense? So it has to be very, very clearly understood. When it says here association of women, it doesn't mean you don't interact with your wife. A lot of devotees, I mean a lot, and I'm talking right here in Mayapur, don't understand this. They don't associate with their wife, don't associate with their kids, because they're being all quote-unquote spiritual. But they're not being spiritual. They may be for themselves, but then great. Then why are you married? Why do you have a family? You want to be all spiritual? Great. Don't get married. If you're going to get married, you have to spend the time and put in the effort. That's what it means. You want a car? You got to take care of it. You got to take care of it. You can't want it and not take care of it. No, I want the car. I'm not going to put petrol. I'm not going to do the oil change, the tire change. I'm not going to have it checked regularly. You know, I'm not even going to bother vacuuming inside, because that would really be, you know, materialistic. You know, and now I'm spiritual. Would we call that person spiritual? Or would we call them irresponsible? That's the point. So we have this tendency to call irresponsibility spiritual, because we can't understand what's primary and what's secondary, what's actual pure devotion and what's materially mixed devotion. That's why the Gita spends so much time putting an effort into this and these other scriptures. This point is again and again brought out from different angles, is understanding what's primary and what's secondary. Right? And secondary doesn't mean it's useless, but it's only useful in connection to the primary. On its own, it has no value. Connected to the primary, it's of great value. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. Okay, so then the household of Vaishnav always works together. It says always, not just when he feels like it. Because the point is according to Shastra, women don't buy occasional. Right? The point is consistent. Man's supposed to be consistent, supposed to be regular, supposed to be fixed, right? That's what makes him a man. So that's what they expect. Right? And but according to Shastra, the man should not expect that from the woman. If he does, he doesn't understand. That's why unless you go to scripture, you'll never understand. Because the point is, man's a man, woman's a woman. They're different. You know, we got to get used to that idea. Right? Both the men and the women. Right? Means the men want the women to have the same mentality as men, and the women want to be able to externally do whatever the men do. So both of them don't know anything what they're talking about. Right? Neither the, you know, insensitive man or the so-called, you know, liberated woman. They both have no idea what they're talking about. Because they don't know what's a man and what's a woman. Right? Does that make sense? It's just the way it is. So it says always. He always works together. That whether they're together or apart, but you're still working together. Right? With the aim of achieving transcendental happiness. In other words, the transcendental platform. In other words, one has desires, one has to deal with them. So one deals according to Shastra, does that for Krishna's satisfaction. Therefore, they work together to please Krishna. Then, they take care of the material needs and they advance. Very easy, very nice. Although engaged in all work in this way. In other words, he's saying, even though, making the point, even though in all work, all these ways, he's engaged with his wife in different activities, he never becomes luxurious, overly fond, because the point is the primary focus is not on his wife, it's on Krishna consciousness. Right? But the medium you're using, interacting with, is the wife. Right? Just like in your cooking, what are you interacting with? You're interacting with pots and pans and the fire, right? The spices, you know, your vegetables. But is that the actual point? The actual point is the taste and looks of the final preparation. so is that the vegetable is, has that particular, you know, amount of softness, that particular amount of gravy, the particular color. Is that a pot? Is it a spoon? Is it a fire? Is it the vegetable itself? Right? Broccoli always comes when you go and buy it nice and soft and ready to eat, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's how you buy it, right?
I don't know about your shop.
Yeah, yeah, of course. You just kind of buy it like that. And, you know, the main problem in this store is that people eat it before they get to the counter, you know, like that. So then you have to have something to show that it was there, you know, like the, you know, like that. Does that make sense? So the thing is those are all secondary, right? Depending upon the vegetable, right? Now let's say you have a squash, okay, and you have a carrot. Now, which takes longer to cook? The carrot, right? So that's the point. It's just a matter, it's a carrot, therefore it takes shorter or longer. And then because it's a carrot, you can do this with it. It's because it's a squash, you can do that with it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the consider, that therefore, what it is secondary. We'll say, no, it's all about the, it's not all about the vegetables, it's all about the cooking. So you have to know cooking's primary, the details of what the ingredients you're working, but all you're doing in cooking is dealing with the pots and pans and vegetables and spices. So that's the point. The household is just dealing with the wife and the family. But it's not the primary point. This is our point. If it's primary, I deal. If it's secondary, I don't deal. But this is called mayavad. That's all it is. It's mayavad. Right? That I don't deal. Or it's karma, because if I'm getting a result, then I deal. If I'm not supposed to be attached, I don't deal. Because if I deal, I'll get attached. No, the point is if you're going to deal and get attached, don't get married. Because it's not an option to not interact. It's just not an option. Right? Does that make sense? It's just the way it is. We may have our own idea. Our friends, the other men that we talk to, they may have the same foolish, uninformed idea, but that doesn't make it right. The absolute truth is the absolute truth. Whether every man on the planet, you know, sitting in every pub of the world, thinks differently, it doesn't matter. I'm just thinking, yeah, or all the guys sitting around at the garage like that. Yeah, also it doesn't matter.
Football stadiums.
But generally you're talking more about the football. You're not talking about the women. But there, when you're mechanics and at the pub, then you got to talk about women, right? What else do you talk about? Right? You know, they're not talking about, well, great beer. Yeah, hey, check out the, you know, the foam when you talk about that. Yeah, it's really good. You know, they don't talk about that. I mean, just trying to think if there's some other situation.
What? Sitting under a tree, what colors?
Work colleagues, yeah, when they're not doing something, right? Or when they're supposed to be doing something and they're not, right? Okay. Yeah, so all these times, it doesn't matter what anybody says, it's not right. It just doesn't matter. This is the problem. This is then our false ego. No, but it's, you know, feelings. No, it doesn't matter. God has his opinion. You bring yourself in line with God's opinion. It works. You don't bring in line with God's opinion, you'll have problems. Because we have to acknowledge God's the big guy around here that sets all the rules and everything works according to his direction, no one else's. Kali Yuga, we have to remember, is an office created by God. Right? Kali is an officer that takes care of the people's atheistic mentalities and sinful mentalities during Kali Yuga. It's not that he's somebody independent. We have this idea because I say Beelzebub, or whatever you want to call it, is separate from the Lord. The devil is separate from the Lord. Satan's separate from the Lord. And he can do whatever he wants. No, he works exactly according to the Lord's instructions. There is no such thing as that. So this idea that Kali, you can't follow God's instructions is totally bogus. All it is Kali Yuga is that people like to be sinful, so that opportunity, you put all the people that like to be sinful all together. You know, just like you have, criminals, you put them all together. Right? nice people are all together, and all the criminals are all together. That's all. That's what Kali Yuga is. So this idea has to be given up that it's Kali Yuga, we can't follow all these things. That's why the scriptures are written in such a way that they apply to our situation in Kali Yuga. Prabhupada is giving examples for us. Right? He's not talking about, you know, when you're sitting in your meditation for 60,000 years in Satya Yuga, you know, what little things to watch out for, you know, the ants coming and biting or, you know, stuff like that. You know, the white ants may eat your whole body away, don't worry about it. Like that, as long as, you know, the life airs are maintained in the marrow of the bone, you know, within the marrow of the bones, you're fine, you know, so don't worry about it, you know. Does that make sense?
Being in Kali Yuga,
it doesn't make sense. But don't worry, and don't worry that your wife will get upset because she looks the same. Right? You know, she's also been eaten by the ants because, you know, like that. So you don't worry about it like that. Does that make sense? Are those the examples he's given? No, Prabhupada's talking about slaughterhouses and brothels and the modern situation and all that kind of thing. Why? Because he's giving the Shastric points for us in Kali Yuga. And then to say, oh, this doesn't apply to us because it's Kali Yuga, that's called false ego. That's called material attachment. That's called anartha. That's called atheism. Does that make sense? Okay. Sorry to speak so strongly, but otherwise, if we don't, then we go on with this foolish idea that whatever I'm doing is great because I'm great. So, he totally gives up illicit, intimate speaking with women. It doesn't say he gives up speaking with women. He gives up illicit, intimate speaking with women. Right? So, it's not because there's some other purpose. It's to enjoy. In other words, if the point of the interaction is to enjoy the feminine company, that's wrong. If it's to interact based on devotional service, then that's fine. But the point is because you're dealing with woman to man, there are rules on how to deal with a woman. Does that make sense? Because for the woman, it's not the topic, it's how they're dealt with. For the man, it's all about the topic and getting into the topic and discussing it right. No, you're wrong. You know, I read here in this place. No, but I did this. I've been doing this for 20 years like that. No, but, you know, in the latest things like that's the man is the topic is important. And they can talk all rough and gross and use all kinds of language. And the more rough and gross it gets, the more man, yeah, hey, that was a good conversation, right? But for women, it's about the quality of the interaction, how you talk. That's what's important. It's not the topic matter. That's why they can change topic matters every few seconds. The man's going, this is not logical. Point is that's not the point. The man, it's all the logical going through here, you know, the thigh bones connect to the knee bones connect to the ankle bone. You know, it's like, they don't care. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's what is this thing brings out this emotion, and then that situation had a similar emotion, so now we're talking about that. The logic is through the emotion. The man is through the mechanical step by step. So the man will say what the woman talks about is illogical, and the woman will say what the men talk about is absolutely, you know, useless. Does that make sense? So the thing is you have to know the medium. It's a big science. That's appreciated. Then, household of life works. And all the things that they talk about, it works very nicely. But if one doesn't, it won't work. Does that make sense? Okay. So we have to make a distance between what's not recommended by scripture and what's uxorious mood, right? So in other words, if that mood's not there and we're acting according to scripture, then the interaction between man and woman is fine. There's nothing wrong with it at all. Because then it's not a satsanga. Right? Because sat means eternal. It means it's based on Krishna consciousness, based on Shastra. It's sat. But if it's not, then it's asat. Right? Because the Shastra gives the rules, but more important, the rules are the mood. Right? So that's why he emphasizes this uxorious mood. Yes. Comes down to training, yes, unfortunately. Right? If you want to do a computer, you got to go to school. You want to be a doctor, you know, 6-7 years, you know, like that. You want to, you know, be a lawyer, you know, it's also 5-6 years, like that. But you want to get married? No, just because you want to, that makes you qualified. That someone agreed to marry you, that makes you the world authority on marriage. And I'm not over-exaggerating this at all. I've seen it again and again and again and again and again and again. It's a matter of training. You're not trained, you don't actually know what you're doing. Now, if your parents, somehow or another, were from some line that was a little more old world, old school, old fashioned, that they had some old world values, which are based on religion, just to point out, then, though it may have been forgotten a few hundred years ago, that somehow or another they stayed together and they had a decent relationship, so just by association you picked up on that, and you're doing that, great, but you have to still understand, it doesn't mean you know what you're doing. You're just doing it. You understand? So the point is that goes great until your friend tells you, oh no, you don't want to do that. You want to do this. Then you're finished. Because according to Shastra, one of the things that women leave men for is following the advice of their friends about how to deal with women. It's one of the major reasons that women get upset with men. Right? Now that doesn't mean that someone has some good advice, but he's giving it generically. Oh, you have to be very kind with the wife, or you have to do like this, or you have to be very considerate, you know, like that, or those are generic rules. Somebody's telling you that, that's valuable. Because why would they tell you that? That comes from experience, or they've heard it from someone else. But when they tell you, no, when your wife says this, you gotta say that, and you gotta show her his boss, you know, like that. That's the kind of stuff you follow, then you'll just see it gets worse. And then because it was advice from your friend, and he's a man, and you're a man, and you're logical, therefore she's got to be wrong. So she's you can't work with her. No, it comes down to you have absolutely no idea how to work with her. And your idiot friend is not helping. And that is we're talking direct Shastra quote here.
Your idiot friend is not helping?
No, about the part about that taking his idiot advice.
Okay.
And he means, in other words, what he does with his women, he tells you to do that with your woman. That means all women are in detail are exactly the same. No, in nature they are, but in detail they're all different. So that you took his advice in detail how to deal, how what he does with his wife, that you deal with your wife that way, that you got to be a fool. And women know that and they don't like it. Does that make sense? So these are the things that Shastra tells you. There's no one on the planet who will tell you this. There isn't a book out there that will tell you this. Does that make sense? So that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, according to religious scriptures. Because otherwise you actually don't know what you're dealing with. Does that make sense? Yeah. How many are unaware? I would say about 3 billion. I've met about 3. That's my personal experience. I've had a lot of people ask, and as long as they can take what you're saying as tricks, you know, like there's always that little trick how to get something to work, and they apply it as a trick and it worked the first time, then they're all praises. Oh, this is great, this is good, you should write a book, you should do all these things, you know, take like that. But after they find out that it's not a trick, you actually have to work at it, you have to use your intelligence, and that each time it will change. You know, it's like a kaleidoscope. Each time you turn it, it's different. The same ingredients. So it's always a kaleidoscope. It always will be a kaleidoscope. But every time you turn it, the look in the thing is completely different. It'll never be the same again. So as soon as they figure that out, how much work it is, and then comparing that to how actually lazy they are, and how they want their wife to be like their mother and completely take care of them where they have to make no effort, then they get angry. And then it's all, well, what about the women? What about their responsibility? What about this and that? You know, it's just like that. So like that, dozens I've met. But actually taking it, using it, I can say two and a half, maybe. Actually, three isn't exactly as more. That's what I meant. There may be more doing, but that's what I know of, that have come, ask some things, take it, use it. It doesn't mean that there are not plenty of people that have something here and there. It's what it means if their marriage is going on. It means they know something. Or I would say it's more by association. They just picked it up from their parents or others, and that therefore they're doing it just by association. But if you ask them, they really don't know the principle. But if they're 50, 60 years old and they're telling you something, then they probably, through that, they have more of an idea, though they can't connect it to Scripture. But they have some really good points to make. You know? Does that make sense? Like I use that one thing, that companionship. One, the Shastra mentions that. That's the point thing. But where I first heard about it was from an 80-year-old couple. I was asking, what keeps the relationship together? She said, a companionship. That's all there is. This romance disappears, you know, quite a long time ago. You know, when you're 80, it probably disappeared when you were in your 20s. Like that. So it's been gone for 60 years. So he says what keeps it together is companionship. And what is mentioning here? Always works together as with wife. What does that mean? Companionship. Right? So he's giving here in a subtle, with the same principle. So that's a value. Like that. There's a good chance he got that from his father. Does that make sense? But to actually know the science, like you said, it's training. And there's no idea that it's training is important, because in their mind it's a matter of feeling, it's not a science. Man-woman relationship's not a science, it's just a matter of feelings. So therefore, that you feel, you have that attachment, that you're qualified. Right? And if it's a science, then it will be cold and dry and you can't actually understand. No, it's there's really a misunderstanding of what science is. Right? Because it's human science. Does that make sense? So sorry for bumming anybody out here, but
which shastra discusses?
Talking too fast today? Said talking too fast today. Okay, because normally we talk slower. Just today, a major issue. So. Yes. Any shastra discusses. You just have to know what you're looking for. Like Diti, she's talking to Kasyapa. What's your point? Is it good? Right? No. It's totally wrong. Right? The attitude's wrong. Time is wrong. Disrespect to Lord Shiva is wrong. Her whole motive is wrong. But how is he talking to her? What kind of language? What words? Very carefully, very nicely. But it's not that he's not saying the facts. But he's presenting them super nice. Right? But the point is the men say, well, that's not practical. Why not? Because they don't have humility and tolerance and knowledge and culture. That's why it's not practical. You know what I'm just saying? That's the point. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem. It's not, it's very practical. It worked. Right? Diti and Kasyapa are still together. Right? And they've been married for the last, you know, hundred some odd trillion years. So they're doing okay. You know, they're not doing bad. When we talk about Prajapatis, do you ever hear about one of the Prajapatis broke up? Like that? Oh, that's the old list of Prajapatis. Actually, now it's changed because, you know, this one, you know, like that. This one ran off that one with this one, and all that. Right? No, they know what they're doing. Does that make sense? So, there. And then the same man talking to Aditi. Right? Now, Aditi is talking pious. But is it correct? Her whole point is prestige. She wants the sons because of prestige. She wants them protected because of prestige. Though she's talking pious while Aditi was talking impious. But the point of prestige within the women's world, that's what they're both talking. And you see they're talking very nicely. You understand? That's the point. You can pick it up anywhere. All the Shastras talk, because in all the Shastras, means in this world, if there's only men and women, right? So then, much of the time, you're going to have some man-to-man, woman-to-woman, and then man-to-woman, right? So a lot of man-to-woman is going to be there. So you just have to know what to look for. But as I said, we think because I have the feeling, I know. These are, Bhagavatam's just philosophy. It is just philosophy. But the point is that just philosophy has its cultural application. Philosophy includes culture. Right? And so therefore, philosophy without culture, without religion, is mental speculation. Right? And when devotees discuss social points, is there any common ground? Are they discussing what the Shastra says and how to apply it? Or are they discussing if it actually is something, is following Shastra even viable? Or we have some other thing, this guy says this, and you know, that guy says that. And so is that mental speculation or not? So what does that mean? It means they're accepting the philosophy without their religion. The religion is, man is like this, woman is like that, and you have to know the science of who they are and how they interact. Because you know what one is, you know what the other, then you have the basis. Then you have to learn how do they interact. Just because you know one and the other doesn't mean you know how they're combined. Does that make sense? So it's there and everywhere. What I'm discussing here is Shastra here. Right? These points are coming from there. And then if you take that and you look at it, then you can see it. Right? That's the point. From Shabda, then through Pratyaksha, you see. You know what I'm saying? And of course, not being involved is so much easier. Right? It's like we said before, you know, watching some other man interact with his wife, and it's so easy to see the mistakes. Like that, you know, to apply it in your own life, that's more difficult. But in the event, but the point is that if you're seeing from Shastra and you see that there, then when you observe, and based on that you make your, then you'll be able to apply it in your own life. Slowly, because the emotions will come up, you'll be overwhelmed by it. Then slowly, that didn't work out, so you intellectually contemplate it. Then you'll start to see as, okay, then you'll work out how to deal, how to do. And then slowly, over the years, then you'll get it. That's why Grihastha life, you're given, you know, 20, 30 years. Because it takes quite a while to figure it out. Does that make sense? So that's the idea. It's just when you think you've got it figured out, things change. You think I've figured, yeah, me and my wife, we got it together like this, and then there's the kid, then it's a whole new thing, you know. Then, you know, okay, now we got that worked out, and then the kid grows up. You know, so it's always changing, you know. Any other questions? Yes.
Apart from knowledge, training, and humility, is detachment a useful?
Detachment is, but detachment means in mood, not in activity. The problem is we take detachment as mood. So most of the time when men aren't dealing with their wives because they're detached and being spiritual, it's actually out of repulsion, not out of actual detachment. They're not detached from the need to interact with women. It's just they're not getting what they're looking for from their wife. Therefore, it's easy for them to stay away. Right? That's why there's pubs in the world. Otherwise, if everything was going great at home, why wouldn't the guy go straight from work home? Right? And because for generations the men are at the pub, then now the women have to come to the pub to see the men. You know what I'm saying? So
detachment and mood.
Detachment and mood means, but it means that you deal with women how they need to be dealt with. But that takes a lot of, that takes a huge amount of masculinity to do. In reality, the reason that, you know, in answer to Mataji's question, the reason that men generally aren't looking for training, don't notice it or don't want it, is because they're not actually men. You know what I'm saying? Just like this. How much do men think women are women these days? Right? They'll consider them quite masculine. So what does that mean? Because the balance is, it has to be balanced. Masculine and feminine principle, you add it together, you get 100%. So that means how much the men, women are masculine means to that much how the men are feminine. Right? They won't buy that, but point is when it's all about you, that's feminine. When it's all about the other person, you know what I'm saying? That's masculine. You understand? Krishna is the center, but not because he demands it. He is the center. He is the one that sets the standard. But in interaction, it's the feminine that's the center. Because the point is if you're interacting with a female, that means what you're doing is the central point. You're working with your car. What's the central point? You or the car? The car, right? But now if I say, now what's it? You or your wife? Me. I'm the man, the wife follows the man. You understand? So that's what happens is when they're outside dealing with dead matter, generally most all men have it right. And they're good at it. But as soon as they walk through the door of their house, something in their brain reverses. And they get it all wrong. But if they applied the principles that they apply to whatever is their material skill that they're expert at, and applied that to the dealing with their wife, the same principles, they would be expert at dealing with women. But somehow or another, when they walk in the door, because they take it that the, you know, because it's like, if I don't do it, it doesn't happen. Like the car won't fix itself. You have to do it. You know, you turn the wrench, then the nut responds. You work with the distributor, then, you know, it starts running smooth. You adjust the camshaft, then it starts running nicely. You know, you deal with the carburetor, then it starts running nicely. But you make the first move, then the response comes. Right? Anybody can understand that in one sentence. Right? Any man on the planet you can explain this to, bang, he's got it. But the mistake is that they think that when they were a child, because they were male and their mother was female, they're in the masculine position, the mother's in the feminine. But it's not. The mother's in the masculine position, the child's in the feminine position. Why? Because the child, it's all about the child. The mother, as a parent, is dealing with the child. The mechanics are the child. So therefore, he thinks, when I walk in the door, it's all about me. With benefits. You understand? That's the point. So that's why, generally speaking, unless there's training, that's the importance of Gurukul. Is because in Gurukul, you're separated from the mother and you have to learn to do it yourself. Right? All the household things that happen automatically because the mom does it, because she's in the masculine position, you have to do because you're in the masculine position. Then you get trained, then when you go back into the home environment, then you're a man. You know what I'm saying? So, even in the old cultures, they didn't necessarily have Gurukul. You know, a few do. You know, the yeshiva and some others, they had kind of a system. But otherwise, you know, you go out with the men and build the house, build the barn. You go out in the field and plow the fields. You know, you go out and hunt. You go off to war. These are the things that when the boy comes back, he's a man. Because he went like that. He functioned outside and had to get things done. But if he didn't have one of those experiences, or if his parents' father wasn't very if his father was very expert and he had a good relationship with them, and therefore just by osmosis he picked it up, basically there's no chance that he'll know what to do. So that's why without training, it's not going to happen. Does that make sense? But the point is every man, if he's good at anything, has the full potential to understand how to do it. The problem is he doesn't apply the masculine mentality to a woman. He applies feminine. And what happens when you get two females together? Yeah, it's a fight. Sometimes they get along, but most of the time not. So if the man wonders why his wife always fights with him, it's because he's a woman. It's that simple. You understand? Problem is basically, generally speaking, men don't like to hear this. But because we're a sannyasi, hey, we don't care. This is not our problem. You know what I'm saying? That's the advantage. Does that make sense? So it's training. So the thing is every man has the full potential because he's generally expert in something. And if you just analyze that principle that you have to do it, and as soon as you stop doing it, does the fixing of the car continue after you've come in and done one or two things? No, as long as you're fixing it, it's getting fixed. And it's responding. It's getting better and better. So the more time, the better it gets. But is there a time, now I've got the car fixed, now I can sit back and do nothing with the car now forever? No. Immediately then, something has to change. Like that. So the point is, the man thinks, I'll just come in and do one thing nice for the wife, and then it should be eternally, it's going to be great. No. Depending on what you did, you know, you get 5 minutes or maybe 3 days. That's it. And then you got it, then you have to keep. The point is it's constant input, constant response. No input, no response. Right? Does that make sense? And the man, if he doesn't like something, he just goes quiet. Woman doesn't like something, she'll let you know about it. Right? Because man's independent. Therefore, I don't like it. I just sit there. I don't have to interact. Woman, she's dependent. Therefore, she's going to let you know it doesn't work. Therefore, she's going to complain. Then it's like, why is my wife always complaining? Listen, that never stops complaining. So what does that mean? You're not being a man. You're not interacting. It's that simple. You know? It's just like, you know, you reach into the pot, pull out a grain of rice, squeeze it. If it's hard, it's not cooked. If it's soft, it's cooked. It's not rocket science. People say, no, but my situation is different. That's the illusion of every individual. And it goes along with the illusion that everyone else is dying, I won't. You know, it's in the same category. It's the same illusion. But it's so simple. Every man so easily could do it if they would. They pride themselves in intelligence, and when they walk in the door, they're not intelligent. They may look at things logically. That's because the way their brain's wired. But as far as emotions go, we're not dealing with anything, any real intelligence or science here at all. Yes? By using it. It's just like a muscle. You use it, it gets bigger. If you don't use it, it doesn't get bigger. And, you know, it's a muscle. You exercise it, it works.
Another problem is that the training is not available, like, in a broad basis everywhere. Good training, real training.
The point is if you look for it, it's there. It's like anything. Like culture is there, you look for it. You know, like people go to Calcutta, you see just a mess and this and that and nothing about. But if you know what you're looking for, you can find really super cultured people. Probably the most cultured on the planet. But you have to know what you're looking for. You know what I'm saying?
Asiatic society.
Yeah, on one level, yeah. But, I generally don't look in there so much. used to back in the 70s till you figured out they didn't really have the books you wanted anyway. Like that. Does that make sense? So there's something anywhere. Right? You know, it's like you go into the pawn shop, right? There's a lot of junk there, but there's some really valuable stuff there. But you have to know what you're dealing with. So that's the point. If you know what you're looking for, you can find it anywhere. So if you want it, you'll find it. Like that. It's there. Of course, because we don't know it's there, don't want it, we haven't arranged for it. You know what I'm saying? There's seminars all over the world about how to make money and how to be successful. But occasionally you have some, you know, husband-wife stuff, but they're just using tricks from books. And when I say tricks, I mean tricks. That's all they're giving. The point is, otherwise, why does the guy have to write a new book? Right? You know, why is it that, you know, the eighth principle has to be there now? When it was seven, you know, why now there's eighth? Because he took the eighth for granted. And all the idiots that wrote the book didn't, so they failed. You know, because it was the mood. He just took the technique. I thought you understood the mood. Right? And then he'll have to go and distinguish between... It just goes on and on and on. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Because they have to keep... But in the Vedas, there's only one book. You don't have to have a second book. Dharma, Manu is there. You don't need another book. You know what I'm saying? Arthashastra is there. There's not a second success book. There doesn't need to be.
The newest Veda.
Yeah. So from the Rig Veda, well, is that 7.3? Or are you using that old last year's, you know, 6.9? You know, no. It's not that. You want to say, ask something.
No, I'm trying to phrase the question, but it seems that these masculine and feminine principles, they also should be applied in relationship to men.
It's to anything. The point is any interactions based on this, because what are you dealing with? Ultimately, it's God and His creation. God, masculine, creation, feminine. That's all there is. You know what I'm saying? So Shankya philosophy is actually the study of this. Because all these different things are there, but how do they interact? That's the thing, is there, therefore. You know what I'm saying?
It seems there's a tendency for implying the principle of being feminine in, for example, managing a yatra or managing a temple, that, you know, it's all about the temple, it's all about, you know...
Yeah, it is. It is.
But then the sensitivity towards the dependence, it kind of gets lost.
Yeah, but then that's the point, is then you have to know what level you're working on.
It means,
in other words, you have the temple president, the manager, and then the temple. So in other words, he has to deal with it according to the sense. But what aspect of the temple is he dealing with? So if he's dealing with the devotee, he's dealing with the money, he's dealing with this, or he's dealing with that, the arrangements, the fest, then he has to do the work. Just like if the husband is dealing with the wife, what aspect is he dealing with? You know, the emotional there, or is it the social thing, or she, you know, somebody's annoyed her, or it's how good she looks, or how nicely she cooked, or how she keeps everything, or how she's so, you know, such a support. You know, which aspect is he dealing with? So if he can't figure that out, he'll be saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. You know what I'm saying? Let's say you sit down to lunch, okay? And then, you know, you're sitting there. So what's important? What's one of the first points of conversation that's necessary?
Nice lunch,
okay? You know, like that. And you have to be willing to take it as far as necessary. What if she asks, well, what do you like about it? You know, then you're screwed. If you're working on tricks, you're screwed. Right? You know, yes, you know, what about it? You know, like this. So it's like that. And then what is she, and what do you do if she says, oh, this is great, this is fabulous, and then she says, I didn't cook that. You know, like that. This other person brought it over, you know, like that. Now what do you do? You know what I'm saying? So this is the whole point, is that you have to know what to deal with there, right? Now, let us say she served the meal, and immediately she starts talking about, you know, this other lady, you know, I don't know what to do. What do you think? Oh, she does this. She drives me nuts. So now what are you supposed to say? Lunch is great. Right? No, now it's not about lunch. Even if it is great, you don't say anything. You talk about, no, this and that. Right? And now if you say, no, don't worry about it, you know, who is she? She's not one, you know, like that. We shouldn't be worried about it. But the point is that she is worried. You understand? So the whole point is how to know what part to deal with. That's where the training comes in. Because otherwise it's, yeah, no, we got this. Because the point is that it will say, oh, this is so complicated. But when you turn the car on, depending on what noise it makes, is what part of the car you work with. Isn't it? The brakes squeak. What do you do? Carburetor? Battery. Like that. You know, it's the door handle, right? Right? So in other words, what is making the noise and what's not working? That's where the energy goes. No. It means I said, what's the first thing you say? It means the point is if she's in a good mood and she's cooked a meal, what does she want to know? If you like it or not. But what I'm saying, if she's emotionally distracted by something else, she's not worried about what you think then. You understand? Then you deal with that. Then when she relaxes, then what do you have to talk about? How nice the meal is. Does that make sense?
So practically that means that if the temple president or the management of the temple, they see that nobody's coming around, then you have to focus on what will bring people around.
Yeah, because the point is, in other words, they're paying the bills and all those different things. But the point is are they managing the temple to inspire devotional service? Because that's what they're supposed to do. Or are they just good at management? You know what I'm saying? In other words, they're a manager, but they're not a leader. Leader deals with people. Management deals with situations, things. Right? Leader is able to do, but he does it with the people. Does that make sense? That's the difference. So, in other words, if he doesn't catch what has to be dealt with at the time, then he won't do well. That
makes sense. In order to counteract the lack of training, And you put the point in the beginning about the focus on Krishna.
Yes.
Because
the point is, if you're focused on Krishna and you're just determined to be Krishna, even if materially it doesn't go well, then you'll be more inspired to be focused on Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So that means even if someone's not trained, if he takes up very seriously Krishna consciousness, his material facility and lifestyle may completely fall apart. But he's focused on Krishna, so he develops spiritually and he becomes perfect.
Yes.
Right? So that would be the you know, whether you're trained or not trained, you'll become Krishna conscious.
Yes.
Right? The difficulty comes is for the person who's trained has a value in that area, so therefore he deals with it properly. The person who's not trained, if he doesn't have a need there, then he just focuses on the spiritual and who cares if material life goes nice. The difficulty comes is when the untrained person has a value and need in material life. That's where the problem comes up. Because neither are they trained and neither can they be detached. You know, they can't take it that, well, I had the family life and now it fell apart. You know, I had money, I had wife, I had children, now they all left me and all the money's gone and now I'm alone. They can't deal with that. But if they looked at it and go, okay, well, I tried like that, but then, you know, now just Krishna just wants me to, so they do, they'll be fine. But if they're missing is, oh, they, why are their fault? Why are they leaving like that? And why do other people make these comments? And it annoys me every time they ask, oh, how's your wife? And I have to, like this. So then the point is then he has to educate himself. Right? In other words, if it's going nicely, then you don't have to worry about it. You know something more, it'll go better. Or at least it'll be sustainable. You know? You don't worry about it, then don't worry about it. So when it doesn't work, don't worry about it. But if you're in between, which unfortunately most of us are, right? Then, then that's, it's like you have the fools and the Paramahamsas. They're happy. Everybody else has a problem, right? The person who's pious and knows all things and the person who's completely detached. They do okay. It's the guys in between, it's like that, so. Does that make sense? So then it's a matter of if one wants, then it's there. One has to, but it's not speculation. It's from the Shastra. And you have to understand the same principle that we're learning here in this analyzation. It's not the form that's prominent. It's the mood. So that's generally the difficulty, is even when we turn to Scripture and we get things, we only pick the external. That's the difficulty. We don't catch the mood. Does that make sense? Yes.
Mars, it sounds like from what you're saying, the conditioned soul in the male body in Kali Yuga has an extra bit of distance to go. They have to go from lesbian to man to devotee.
Basically. I think Rita Nandamars made that point a long time ago. Yeah. So that's, why this emphasis on the masculine principle, okay? We start with your first point, right? Is that the soul's feminine, right? So the feminine's nature is to serve the masculine, or interact with the masculine. So what does that mean? We would interact with Krishna's energy, in connection to Krishna. Does that make sense? That would be the natural position. But we've taken the position where we want to enjoy the Lord's energy, which is feminine, for ourselves. Right? That takes on that lesbian aspect. Right? Does that make sense? So, but the difficulty is this, is that the living entity in the female form, then it by the way it's constructed, and the hormones and everything else, it will think and act like a female. Right? But the masculine, its mechanics will be masculine. So the thing is that the soul is feminine. So the soul actually does not have any idea how to be masculine. So that's why a woman doesn't have to be trained to be a woman. She has to be trained to be a good woman. But teaching her to be a woman, there's no question of it. If you look at the 2-3-year-old girl, they already move and do things like an adult woman. They have that more innocent mentality. You know what I'm saying? It's inherent. But for the living entity in the male body, unless you're trained in what masculinity is, you won't have a clue. Because feminine means it's all about you. You know what I'm saying? So technically you are learning how to be a good woman by using that nature in the Lord's service. But the science has to be understood by the man. The woman just has to understand that, being feminine is fine and you applying that femininity in a pious way. You know what I'm saying? So either the femininity is natural or it's covered. But there's no such thing. There is no such, even you take the butchest girl, she's still, her butchness is still feminine. And the reason for it is still feminine. There's no question they're going to act outside of that. Does that make sense? Yeah? So down at the pub, the lady that's there, anyone bothers her, her right punch is as good as anybody else's, and everybody talks, don't say anything to her, the last three guys you knocked out, cold, like this and that. But if you told her she looked nice to, that she would respond. You understand? Does that make sense? Does that work?
So for the living entities in the male body who didn't go to Gurukul, then they are they can learn that through intelligence.
It means the ones that go to Gurukul have to learn through intelligence. But the point is you have a lot more time to practice. Because you're not in an environment that will disturb the women. You understand? You're in a masculine environment, but you're learning how to deal and be conscious of what you're dealing with. Right? So, the man who didn't go to Gurukul, but he learned some skill. Right? He's learning that in the male environment, and he's learning, so he has the potential. He just doesn't make the connection, because one was with did matter and one's with people. So that's generally the problem, is they can't connect the two. So because of that, then even though they can use their intelligence to make that connection, they don't have the practice. That's why I said years. Does that make sense? So the point is he understands that and applies it, has faith in that. Then after, then he, if he, when he applies it right, he'll get immediate result. Does that make sense? Woman being dealt with in the proper way responds immediately. It's not that it takes all, no, it works. You know what I'm saying? But how much is there till they become comfortable and therefore satisfied and relaxed about it? That may take time depending upon how you've dealt with her or how she's been dealt with in the past. Does that make sense? So that work is there. Does that make sense? So if that's there, then it works very nicely. So that means any man, so he's saying, if he has it, he just has to convert the thing. You know, it's just like you have dollars here in India, you can't spend them, but you can convert them. You know, but we're walking around, well, I got dollars, hey, it's superior to a rupee, you know, like that, you know, come on, you know, the whole economy's following the dollar, you know, so like that. But can you buy anything? No, so you have to convert it. So the whole point is they're expert, they have so much knowledge of this and that, but you have to convert it. But it's not that it's small. You know, the example is given is that, you know, the emperor of the world, then, you know, he can, you know, how you say, that the family life works nicely, he takes the same endeavor where it is like running an empire. It means, in other words, it's full attention. You know, to the detail. It doesn't mean that it's full attention and consciousness. Because that's Krishna conscious, that he's pointed out. Because in other words, it's full attention. Without the Krishna conscious, then you'll become excessively fond of one's wife. Because that full attention, you'll get the full response. But this full attention is given for so that there's comfort and there's workability that you can therefore engage in service. Does that make sense? There's a mood. Catch it, you can get it. Because the point is the masculine principle is intelligence. That's what I'm saying. Any man can do it. But he has to use the intelligence. The main problem is men don't. When they're dealing with women, they don't use their intelligence. They only use it when, you know, they walk into the kitchen and the wife's dropped something on the floor and she's upset about it. And so they'll tell her logically how they should have dealt with it so they wouldn't have dropped it. But that's the problem is that wasn't... You didn't deal with the person.
So that's the problem, that men deal with the logic.
Deal with the logic, but they don't apply the logic in people. You know, but the point is when you deal with people, the mood's different. You know what I'm saying? That's probably why you can say that dog is man's best friend. Because the dog lets you be the center, and whatever you're into, then it just follows along with that. So it works great, you know. Yeah. Right? So if you have a mother who's still willing to take care of you and a nice dog, then, you know, hey. You know, good car, some money, hey, you're done. Yeah. Anything else, sir? Yes.
But you said feminine means it's all about you.
Yes.
I'm just thinking of our models in the spiritual world. It's not all about Elvis, it's all about Krishna.
That's the mood, but the mechanics Who's the center, Radha or Krishna in mechanics? I don't mean auto mechanics or quantum mechanics. Krishna, masculine means then he's God. So Radha and Krishna, it's all about Krishna's godness. What is it about? Where does Krishna interact with Radharani? In a masculine environment or a feminine environment? So who's the center? Right? But she's doing everything to please Krishna. You know what I'm saying? The difference is in the material world, just as the men, the soul in the male body has the idea, I'm the controller and enjoyer. The soul in the female body thinks, I'm the controller and enjoyer. So here on top of this is that, what's his name? We have something to add to your...
Dr. Adam.
Okay.
Adam.
You know what Adam in Sanskrit means? Yeah. Because that's what it mentions, Bhavishya Puran. It was Adama and Havyavati. You know, otherwise known as Adam and Eve. Like that. Like that. So how you say? Is that there's two females trying to enjoy each other, but they're in the masculine mood. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So they're lesbians, but actually their mentality, they're gay. So you have to throw that into the mix. Like that. That's why it gets weird here. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, material world is a strange place. You know, 'cause like that. So the idea is that, but in the spiritual world, what we're saying is the mechanics don't change. The masculine and feminine interaction doesn't change, whether it's within the material manifestation or the spiritual. What changes is who you're trying to please. Right? Here, the woman makes herself the center to please herself. In the spiritual world, the woman makes herself the center to please Krishna. Right? Because the point is in this, masculine wants to take care of the feminine. Right? Feminine wants to be taken care of. So the man who wants to be taken care of by the woman, that's the feminine element. No, the man wants to take care of the woman. Right? Does that make sense? Because otherwise, how does the inconsistency come up? Okay, what's the man's position? Well, he's the provider, he takes care, you know, he's the protector and all that. So then why do you get upset when you go home and the wife wants, you know, it's all about her? Because they're protecting you, take care of that. No, but what about me? But what happened to you as the protector? You as the maintainer. Does that make sense? So it breaks down. It's inconsistent. So Krishna doesn't mind always putting out the energy towards the feminine in the feminine environment. That's the difference. So this idea is that, oh, for being Krishna conscious, then the women have to think like men. No, they don't. Because the men that they're talking about is still mundane anyway. So why is it that the feminine has to think like the mundane man, and that's spiritual? That's like saying if you don't engage the senses, then you're detached, so therefore it's spiritual. It's the same illusion. Is that okay? Dealt with that.
Like a synthesis could be like the man, the husband, should think that my well-being, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the well-being of Krishna. So I have this wife and these children. So I have to take care of them. Krishna wants me to take them to him. So my well-being, it doesn't matter. I have to do anything to take them to Krishna because that's what Krishna wants.
No, that part works up to there. But what about, you know, the wife wants some attention, or, you know, she wants to know how she looks after she dressed up for going to the temple. Where does that come into that equation? Because taking to the temple and seeing that they chant and they take prasad, that all works very nicely. Most devotees work on that part very well. It's what they're, when they're at home, and Bhaktivinoda talks about, you know, that they have discussions, you know, like that, and, you know, physical touching, this, that part is where it falls apart. That's where, if you don't know Shastra, you know, it doesn't work. Yes. Yeah, so why do you have to make her feel happy?
Because if she see that you are a good leader, that you make her happy, she will say, okay, I will follow him.
Yes. Okay. So the point is women follow men because men take care of women.
Yes.
Women don't follow men because they're supposed to. That's the rule. Because it's just like you say, if I say, okay, you're going somewhere in the car, and I say, drive safely, does that also include don't drive badly? Yeah. So when it says, you know, the woman follows the man, it means that the man's going somewhere. So if he's not going anywhere, how will she follow? Right? And so his being grumpy and self-centered is feminine. So where is the man going? Where what does she follow? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's the point. It's the mentality. It's not the body. You know, so most make the mistake because they have a male body, then that's all that's required. No, you have to have a male mentality. Does that make sense? So yes, so that's the point, is you have to take it that far. Because the point, if she's not happy, then the process isn't good, because she'll look at it religious, right? Prabhupada says, spiritual husband, religious wife. It's not said once or twice, it's always said like that. So that means religion gives results. So if it's not nice, it means there's something wrong with the process. So if she doesn't think that the process is good because it's nice, she doesn't commit herself to the process. So if she's not comfortable, she's not interested in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? Unless on her own determination, but then that has nothing to do with the husband. So he can't take any credit for that. Does that make sense? You know, she works it out in her own mind and becomes, that's from her training. So that's why it's ideal that both is there, both are trained. Then from both sides you're sure to get something. Is that okay? The point is most don't think down to that detail. Right? They'll just take it that all the uniqueness of the feminine nature is just an annoyance because it gets in the way of the man getting done what he wants to. But it's not business. You're not making money. You're dealing in emotions. So it's actually on the platform of Dharma. So men are very expert on the platform, Artha. But the woman functions on the platform of Dharma. You're dharmic, she responds. You're not dharmic, she doesn't respond so well. Because Artha is not actually a station of rasa. Right? Kama, Dharma, and Bhakti are stations of rasa. But Artha and Moksha aren't. You understand? So that's the point. If you function on either of those two, either just being practical in business and getting things done, or all detached and all that and spiritual, which generally is what men do, there's nothing there for the women to react with. So Dharma is the common point. Right? So Dharma, comma, Moksha, that's where you can interact with women. I mean, so bhakti. Does that make sense? because the other two are in between. They create the environment, right? If you have the artha is for creating the environment where then you can interact on the religious and the sensual platform, right? Moksha is the environment in which bhakti can be performed. Does that make sense? So the spiritual facility and the material facility. But they themselves, all they are is situations. You know what I'm saying? Artha is the situation. You have money. You have justice. You have like that. But you're not interacting, right? Dharma, you're interacting. Kama, you're interacting. Bhakti, you're interacting. Does that make sense? That's why rasa is Vaikuntha, which is bhakti. Swargiya, which is dharma. Or partiva, which is kama. There is no stations of rasa in artha or moksha. Yes?
Is that why sometimes then Maharishi gave that example that the husband is away from home and he's working hard and he's like, I did it for the family, but they're not satisfied?
No, because it's just facility.
Yeah.
The point is facility has to be applied in relationship. If it's not applied in relationship, then all that. That makes sense.
Maharaj, here in India, we find that before marriage, they match the birth type.
Right.
Both male and female. When the maximum quality is matching, then they allow to get married.
Yes.
So how this work here in masculine and female?
Because it's showing what, in other words, how do you say? Krishna is there, no? Now, when Krishna expands, and then he has his internal Srup Shakti, okay? Now, when he expands, what does the Srup Shakti do? Is there a match, or it's just he's expanded and that's it? Yeah, it means when Krishna expands as Balaram, does Balaram have any consorts? No. Yeah. Right? When he expands into Vaikuntha, are there consorts? Right? What about Mahavishnu? Right? You understand? So the point is there's always a match. So you have to see what kind of masculinity is there and whether this, and what kind of femininity is there and do those match. Because yes, they're masculine, they're feminine. But the point is that there's natural match. Does that make sense? But if you understand the principle of masculine and feminine, you can make anything work. But the point is it's just so much harder. You know what I'm saying? So why work with something harder when you could work with something easier? It means if you take a hammer, you can get the potato into small pieces. But it's so much easier if you use a knife. You know what I'm saying? But if you actually knew what you were doing and dealt properly, you could get it into, it would be a bit rough, but it would work. You know what I'm saying? So if the charts don't match, if you understand the science very well and you work extra hard, it'll work. You know what I'm saying? But the point is you're putting in all that work and it's just working. But the other one, it more naturally works. With less input, you get, the results. So that's the point. Since it's so difficult anyway, why waste your time? So you check the charts, they match nicely, then it'll work. But the point is just because they match doesn't mean that it'll work. It's whether you put in the effort. That's just what facility you have. You know what I'm saying? It just says that they're compatible, but you have to actually interact. Many people think the chart's good, I don't have to do anything, so just it automatically works. No, it's by your effort, you'll get good results. The more they're not matched means you have to put in more effort to get a result. You know what I'm saying? So if you're so dutiful at any time, any situation, no matter what's happened to you that you can function so dutifully, don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? But how many people like that do you ever meet? You know what I'm saying? So if, you know, you had a bad day at the office, so therefore you're not so conscious, then when you go home, if the charts are bad, you'll have problem. But if the charts are very good, then there'll be something there that'll catch it and straighten it out, if you're aware of it. If you're not, you can still take a perfect, you can still take 92% chart and blow the marriage. You know, it's possible. You know, you can take a first-class car and still trash it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we seem to have lost all of the points. You're still here. We lost most of our brahmacharis. What's this guy talking about? Okay. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, huh? In the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.9-10, Suta Goswami has briefly explained the rules for a Grihastha Vaishnava as follows. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Notice he uses the word never. He doesn't use not always. I've seen a devotee where he's translated this and removed never and put in, you know, like that, meaning, you know, predominantly you shouldn't do it like that. No, it says never. You perform for material gain. It doesn't mean you don't get gain, but we always have, I mean, a material gain means it's for you. If you're getting gain, but it's for Krishna, it's not material gain. So that means you can work hard. We misunderstand. That's why the acharyas go through and explain. Working hard to get money, but that money's for Krishna's service, it's not material gain. Right? It's not prayasha, over endeavor. Like that. Furthermore, according to sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service, devotional service, should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. So sense gratification means also the interactions not meant for Krishna. That's why Shastra defines how to deal. So then the Shastra will say, you know, how that interaction, so then you know I'm doing this because this is what Shastra recommends. And I'm following Shastra because that pleases Krishna. Rather than I'm following Shastra because then I'll get the good benefit. So then that's material gain. But pious. Right? Life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. Right? One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation. Since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. So that means you can eat nicely, be regulated, all those things, because that's what creates a healthy life. Right? It's not that, oh, we don't care and all that. Because then you may not, if you remain healthy, great. But if you don't, then regulated life of, you know, proper eating, proper resting, proper recreation, all this. Since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth, nothing else should be the goal of one's works. Right? So we wouldn't take that as rules for Grihastha Vaishnavas, would we? Right? Well, you're asking, where is it? Here it is. You have to understand those points. So that means the interaction. Now, does the wife expect that there'll be some physical interaction? Yes? No. Right. But is it for your sense gratification? No, or is it because that's the environment that the wife is comfortable in? And if she's comfortable, then she can focus on Krishna consciousness. This is what it means. It doesn't mean that interaction is not there. Does that make sense? Because the point is if nobody cares, that means God doesn't care. Right? Because you're masculine, you don't care. God's masculine, he doesn't care. It works like that. Yeah.
What does self-preservation mean?
Self-preservation means is that you may not be healthy, but you're, you know, functioning. It means you function fine. It means, you know what I'm saying? Healthy is means is there's that, you know, that extra bit of buoyancy there. You know what I'm saying? Or self-preservation. You know, just keeping body and soul together. but enough to do your service. Right? Anything else? Okay, so now we've heard that. Shastra instruction. You understand? From this, then you can get so much out of it. Right? They should never be, all occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. So all occupational engagements, that means, occupation means how one is dealing in one's family life, that's also meant for ultimate liberation. Right? So liberation means free from the material world. Ultimate liberation means situated in devotional relationship with Krishna. So that means the man's interaction with his wife is ultimately meant to liberate him from here and situate him in Krishna consciousness. Right? They should never be performed for material gain, so he shouldn't be doing this to get material gain. And then that should be never used for sense gratification. So it doesn't change the activity. It changes the mentality. The mentality should be fruitive, it should be spiritual, and that whatever results you get, because you will get results, because the mechanics, they shouldn't be used for sense gratification. So it doesn't change any of the dealings in the Grihastha Ashram. It changes the mentality. Because that's the point. The detail is there. Brahmachari has one set of occupational duties. Grihastha has another. But the mentality is exactly the same. You know what I'm saying? Because his occupational duty is not meant for material gain. Not because he's the senior brahmachari now, he gets the fancy this and that and so on. And then that's not used for sense gratification. It's the same principle. As where it says, all occupational engagements. So it includes everybody. Right? Nobody's left out. Very, you know, what do you call it? Equal. Somehow I was trying to think of some more complicated.
Inclusive.
Huh? Inclusive. No, but I was saying, you know, equanimous. That was somehow another coming to mind. All you have to do is say equal. And no one would complain, it's not a word, right? Okay, does that make sense? So that's how you can see these things in there, but we're not taking them and applying them. You know, unless the verse says, you know, on Tuesday night, you know, after you come home from work, in the foyer of the house, then, you know, do this with your wife or don't do this with your wife. And if it says that, then it's okay, so you're that, and Shastra said, that's not what it's going to say. Because Shastra's not going to fall prey to telling you what to do that your wife is going to get upset. Right? Shastra's going to say, how does a man deal with a woman? Right? You have to apply it to the detail. Does that make sense? For the welfare of the karmis, the merciful sages have composed 20 religious scriptures that are suitable for karmis. Right? 20. So that means Manu is the main and all these other ones, basically what they're doing is giving further detail. You know, for specific application in different ages. You know, bringing out something more. But Manu is the main. They're all in pursuance of that. Because Manu is what Vishnu talked to Brahma, but he talked to the Prajapatis. I mean, talked to his sons. Right? So Manu is what's spoken by Bhrigu in front of Brahma. Like that. Does that make sense? So others then are giving a specific thing. But, so for us, is Manu is main, and then Parasara and Yajnavalkya. Because they give details for Kali Yuga. That Manu gives one verse or two verses. So if we're clever, we can work it out, the detail. If we're not, then Parasara gives further, you know, he'll give, you know, expand on that for some verses to give more understanding of this application. They are suitable for karmis. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11:29, it is said, as long as one is not satisfied by fruit of activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, one has to act according to the regulative principles of the Vedic injunctions. Right? But not satiated by fruit of activity. So that means as long as there's any desire, material desire, means one's not satiated. So as long as that's there, one acts according to the Vedic injunction. If one has nothing to gain from the material sphere, one doesn't have to follow it.
But one would anyway.
One would anyway, depending on one's situation, you'd follow anyway. You take the form, you know, what the grihastha follows or what the sannyasi follows, the brahmachari, like that, yeah. But at the same time is that it's not your motivation. It's not your inspiration. You know? Does that make sense? Right? And then it's also, you're just taking the essential points, the principal points, not detail. Like that. Yes.
These 20 scriptures, would that be the Artha Shastras?
No. They're all Dharma Shastra.
All Dharma Shastra.
Yeah. Artha Shastra, there's one. Like that. Like that. No, there's 20 main religious scriptures. There's more. I think there's like 40, but 20 are accepted as main, and everybody respects those. But for us, of these 20, then for us, 3 are prominent. But anyway, out of those 20, one is the main. For the karmis mentioned by the Lord in this verse, Trivarga is the only prescribed occupation. Means burbu viswa, right? So what is dealing with that? Those who become indifferent and attained jnana, for them there is no longer a need for trivarga activities. So those activities within the varnashram system that deal with trivarga, that you don't have to deal with. You don't have to deal with the heaven, you know, forefathers. You don't have to deal with the demigods. You don't have to deal with the ghosts and all these things are not necessary anymore. Right? So for the devotee, then he is, you know, at least in theory, indifferent to the material. So therefore, his dealing, what he has, is just within what is necessary in the day-to-day life. So all these other extra elements are dropped. They give up those activities, become eligible for sannyas with dry knowledge. Right? Because then the sannyas is based on you're able to keep renounce because of knowledge. Right. Those who are faithful in hearing the topics of the Lord after receiving His mercy on the strength of their accumulated pious activities from many lifetimes are no longer attached to karma. They are called Vaishnavas. Among them, those who are grihasthas enjoy whatever artha they obtain while practicing dharma for the purpose of liberation, not for the purpose of sense gratification. Right? Rather, this artha helps them purely maintain their lives in the favorable condition, cultivation of Krishna consciousness with the purpose of understanding the absolute truth. So in other words, he's performing dharma in connection with Krishna, so sanatan dharma, or daiva varnashram. What artha comes from that, then that's what he uses in his life. Right? He doesn't go outside of that. Right? The karmis, there's so many things they can do outside of that, they want to increase. Like that. So like that. Does that make sense? But he doesn't use that for sense gratification. It's still all engaged in the Lord's service. But it doesn't mean that the senses aren't engaged. Right? Krishna says, you know, there are those who sacrifice means the senses are not engaged in the sense objects. So the senses are engaged in the fire of renunciation. While others then, the sacrifice is the senses and the object of the senses. But the point is it's sacrifice because the result is for the Lord. Is that Right. So this artha helps them purely maintain their lives in the favorable cultivation of Krishna consciousness for the purpose of understanding the absolute truth. In this, the difference between karma and spiritual activities can be seen. Right? So in this, the difference can be seen. Is the devotee is just doing, you know, what is his devotional duties. So therefore, then the artha that comes from that is used for maintaining those duties. But for the karmi, it's a separate concept that it's mine and I will get the benefit and I will use it for however I like. That's why he's a karmi. So because of that, then the activities may be the same, or there may be extended activities that the karmi involves himself in, right? Does that make sense? So it's you the devotee finds where's the balance for his situation. Therefore, to attain the mercy of the Lord, a grihastha Vaishnava should accept the divisions of varnashram and along with his wife practice dharma, artha, kama, and moksha in order to maintain his life. right, accept the divisions, accept his situation along with his wife, then they practice. Right? But it starts from Dharma. We can't start from Artha, right? The Vedic is you start from Dharma. The moderns, you start from Artha. The point is how Artha is going to come without Dharma.
And you don't get very far.
Yeah, and so therefore, if you don't have Artha, there's no Kama.
Yeah.
And then the difficulty is, then the Kama, it's easy to understand the Moksha. Because you've performed the activity, you've gotten the result, and then you understand that it's overrated. But if you don't get the result, there's always the idea that there's something there. That's the point. That's why the devotee is very careful. Like that. But his engagement of this is so that he understands that there's nothing here. Does that make sense? So that's how you can see there's a difference between karma and spiritual activities. Activity looks the same, but it's not. Yes?
So if the modern, then they don't understand the Dharma, then is that why then they act in such a way that it doesn't matter how you get the money, the ends justify the
means? Yeah, the ends justify, but then do they keep the money? Like before, it was common. People had money, and it's always having money, but now you can have money and then, you know, next week not have money. Or you have money, 6 months later, they don't have money. But before, if someone had money, generally 6 months later, they still had money. You know, if they did their duties right and they did everything right, they'd maintain that.
You have those families as well that they're trained, they're pious, you know, they're going.
Yeah, and so for generations they've had money. Does that make sense? Because they know that there's a nature to money. The others is just you try to get money and you do whatever you can to get it. So that's niti, that's artha. But those who actually have money and always have money, it's because they understand there's a nature to money. If you don't deal with money according to its nature, you won't have it. So they don't understand it as dharma and that it's coming from shastra and that it's God's laws. They just know that's how it works. You know, because generally most of these families have figured it out, you know, back in the 1600s or something. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that they won't know, but they're at least following it. So they'll be conservative and they have tradition and everything like that. But it's not as, they have money, but the whole life is not as dynamic and as alive as it could be. Because they don't actually know why it works. Does that make sense? Yeah. Whenever his house becomes unfavorable for this purpose, he should give it up out of disgust. In other words, as long as the house is favorable for Krishna consciousness, you know, dynamic, everyone's moved, then it's worth. But otherwise, yeah. Thus, by properly performing the activities of Trivarga, the Grihastha Vaishnava's character becomes pure. Because he's given up the results for Krishna, so you become purified. You become liberated from that. And because he does it for Krishna, then he gets devotion. Right? So ultimate is it's done for Krishna, and that he follows Shastra without following nice karma, that's liberation. Does that make sense? So ultimate liberation. The liberation comes because it's done in nice karma, and the ultimate comes because that it's giving it up is for Krishna. Yes. Trivarga means Bhur-Bhuvah-Swa. That means the earthly planets, the middle planets, and the heavenly planets. So that means you're dealing with all the elements of that. Does that make sense? In other words, you're not dealing with the demigods, but you're worshipping the Supreme Lord. Right? You know, the sages, it's not just studying the scriptures as that, but you're studying the scriptures to please Krishna. Right? You take care of guests because they're devotees, not because they're, you know, that's your duty is to just take care of guests. Or you deal nicely with all living entities because that's your duty. No, it's because they're all also devotees. They're all living entities, servants of Krishna. So all the duties are done, but they're done directly in connection with Krishna, as opposed to that it's the pious thing to do because it's the right thing to do. Does that make sense?
All right. What is the difference between between giving up the ashram out of disgust and in repulsion?
Disgust, it means that there's nothing there. Because repulsion, the difficulty is that means disgust, there's nothing to gain. Repulsion is you're very focused on the thing you repulse from, so it's still the center of activity. Disgust is that the thing is not a center of focus anymore. Right? In other words, there's nothing there. That's the point of disgust. Yes.
You
would want that, but you're not getting it, so you're repulsed. That's why if someone gives up the household ashram from repulsion, then much of the time we find later, then when they find someone who is not like, is different from the difficulty they had before, that if they see some hope that they'll get what they want, then they get involved again. You know, that's the... Does that make sense? So that's the difference. Disgust, you don't get involved. With such pure characteristics, he should hear, chant, and remember the names, forms, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord with full surrender. The wife should also always endeavor for spiritual perfection with the help of subordinate women, such as her sister and daughter. There is no illicit conduct in this, so there will not be any association with women. Right? So, little details, then the women amongst themselves, they take care of themselves. Right? And then where it's necessary where the men and women interact, then that's done. You know what I'm saying? In other words, yeah. Therefore, whether one is a householder or a renunciate, all practitioners should totally give up the association of women. The devotees should carefully give up the above-mentioned sangha in the form of association. Okay. So that means, in the Vedic concept, nobody is associating with women. It doesn't mean that one's not interacting and working and dealing on a very proper platform so that everybody is emotionally and satisfied. It just means that one's not doing that for one's own purpose of enjoying being the interaction between men and women. Does that make sense? Okay, so... Well, so that ends that section. Now, sangha in the form of attachment. Start after at 10:30.
Mars, that seems like that's why it would be very important then to hear from advanced devotees in house life, so you can always be clear of the goal.
Yes, yes. So means the point is they can put it together for you, makes it easier. If not, then you hear about household life, you hear about spiritual, you know, and you put it together like that. But the two should be ideally connected, because they are. Means the point is this applies in any situation, you know. But we'll speak more about the grihastha, because the brahmacharis generally aren't complaining that nothing's going right for them, right? Does that make sense? Generally, the grihasthas have more of the difficulty, and because of that, they get distracted. You know what I'm saying? The brahmacharis are doing fine in the situation. They're not saying, "Oh, this is all Maya. I'm going off to the forest and be, you know, more." No, they're comfortable. It's the grihasthas that they're not comfortable, so therefore they're getting distracted, getting more into their occupation or more into the family life. You know what I'm saying? So they're getting into prayasha and stri sangha. And they don't see that it's distracting them from their spiritual life. But the point is they could do the forms or the mechanics of both of those things they could be involved in, but they don't have to take on that mentality. In other words, to put in quality time with the family, you don't have to have that attachment or fondness for being in women's association to do it right. You have to be Krishna conscious. You have to be dutiful. You have to be humble. You have to be you have to have good qualities. You know what I'm saying? But their inspiration is that they're attached. That's why. That's all. So it doesn't give the great result, right? And that they have their facility and money and all that, that's just what you're supposed to do. According to your nature and needs, you have that kind of a occupation that gives you that kind of prophet. So you have that facility. You know what I'm saying? But still, the whole environment is still for Krishna. So what we're saying is, you can be as, you know, socially well off and as, you know, quality time involved with your family as necessary. In fact, the Shastra is the one that recommends it. The difficulty is we don't see that. We have an impersonal concept of what it is. Or we only see it that, okay, the brahminical is, but not Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. The point is, it's all occupations. So it's, if I have no money, then that's brahminical. But if I need more money, then it's not brahminical. I can't use it in that way, so I'll work with it according to our vaishyas. But a non-Krishna conscious one. They're saying, no, it's all. Vaishyas have lots of facility. But it doesn't mean that they can't be Krishna conscious. Does that make sense?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.